It's Monday, the 11th of January, 2016. Happy birthday to Tony Allen. Welcome to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by moneyball.com.au and YouVeggies. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to be a sponsor of the podcast just like YouVeggies, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes, and it is that simple. You can become a sponsor of the podcast for a day. You can also be a sponsor of the podcast if you like Moneyball, which is Australia's best daily fantasy sports site, and they are running contests every single day for NBA, NFL, Big Bash, soccer, A-League, EPL, all that sort of stuff. There's a lot happening on Moneyball, so get yourselves involved in that. Just a quick note on sponsors. Some of you would have noticed over the last couple of episodes that I've been able to acquire a few sponsors, so you'll see some ads in the show, trying to keep it to one ad per show, one pre-recorded ad per show. I know that people don't necessarily love listening to ads, but I'm keeping it to a minimum. It really does help the podcast significantly, and you guys have helped that with the reviews and the popularity of the show, being able to attract some sponsors, and it helps me improve the show and keep this thing going and be able to turn this into, you know, more than just a side part-time sort of thing. So I know that ads can sometimes be annoying, but they provide some money to help the show keep going, and that's what they are. I'm not going to flood the podcast with ads or anything like that. You'll have one pre-recorded ad per episode, and occasionally there'll be some live reads as well. And that's all just, you know, you're talking an hour show and, you know, maybe 30 seconds to a minute of ads. I think it's a reasonable trade-off. So I do apologize for any of you who do get upset about that or get annoyed, but it's a sort of a necessity in the world we live in today to try and make these things grow and become bigger and better. If you're watching this podcast on YouTube, you can probably see I'm wearing a jersey. If you're not on YouTube and you're listening, you obviously can't, but I got my Kawhi Leonard Christmas jersey today, so I'm pretty happy about that. You can see that on the video. There it is. Kawhi Leonard Spurs Christmas jersey. Very, very happy to get that. I've got some other good ones coming my way hopefully soon, so we'll see those out very shortly. We've got NBA action to talk about. We've got the lines of the night. We've got the review of Sunday's games. We've got the preview for Monday's games. We're going to do a bit of a trade talk segment as well. So,
let's get to it.
Indeed, Mick. The monstrous line of the night goes again to Damian Lillard, the second time in, I think, the last three nights. For Lillard, 31 points. He had 7 rebounds, 9 assists, 2 steals. He hit 8 triples and did it really efficiently, going 9 of 18 from the field. He was 5 of 6 from the free throw line. He did have 7 turnovers, but overall just a big, big night from Lillard, and has come back super strong after that plantar fasciitis injury bothered him. He's averaging 27 points and 5 triples in his last 4 games. Also 8.8 assists and almost 2 steals. Just creaming it at the moment. And if you're in a punt field goal percentage build, he's probably at the top 2 or top 3 player over that time frame. Really, really red hot at the moment, and sort of the guy that I think a lot of people expected to start the year. Yes, he's been great this year, maybe not quite as high as some people hoped, but he can't really complain too much about what Damian Lillard is doing at the moment. The waiver wire line of the night: Patrick Beverley of the Houston Rockets played 39 minutes. It wasn't overtime game, so he got a bit of a bump there, but 16 points, including 4 threes. But where he really gave you the extra value was 5 rebounds. He had 6 assists, 2 steals on 4 of 11 shooting, which is not good, but he hit all 4 of his free throws. And you don't expect big assist numbers from Beverley. You don't expect, you know, big scoring. So that was a bit of a surprise. He'd been a little bit down, but over the last 2 weeks, he is a top 80 player. He's averaging 1.7 threes, 4.2 assists, 1.2 steals on 53% shooting. I think we can expect that field goal percentage to drop, but he's going to be that 3 or 4 assists sort of player, 1.5 threes and close to 1.5 steals sort of guy. And that can be value in 12-team leagues. It's not going to be for everybody, and the lack of scoring is going to hurt some teams, and you've got to be sort of built specifically to deal with that. But otherwise, he's clearly got the starting point guard job in Houston. That's all his for the time being, at least. Anyway, I don't really see Jason Terry or Ty Lawson taking that off him. And some pretty helpful but not spectacular numbers, although today was pretty spectacular. But overall, you don't expect big spectacular sort of action from Patrick Beverley. The young gun of the night, I think you know who it is.
Porzingis.
He played 30 minutes, had 15 points, 2 threes, 6 rebounds, but added 2 assists, 1 steal, and 5 blocks. This guy is blocking shots like they're going... He's just a crazy shot blocker at the moment. That's not something we really anticipated from him. He showed a bit of it in Summer League, and I thought maybe that was because he was playing a guy that didn't jump in Jahlil Okafor when he had a stack of blocks there. But he's averaging 2 blocks a game, 8 rebounds, a 3 a game, 0.7 steals. He's been a real stud. Quietened off towards the middle of December, but really starting to pick it back up now. The minutes are back up. He's over 31 minutes a game in the last week. He's a top 30 guy in that time frame. His shooting percentage is back up as well. I can't wait to see where Kristaps Porzingis takes us in the next few years. The dud of the night, Enes Kanter. And I know Enes Kanter, when I look at duds of the night, I like to look at people who are owned in leagues and are actually hurting people. And I was shocked to see that Kanter's still owned in 75% of leagues. He's a real sort of conundrum player. Do I drop him? He puts up usable lines, but he's limited by his ceiling. Well, today he was bad. He played 13 minutes only. 5 points and 6 rebounds with 1 steal, and his usual stellar percentages let you down. 1 of 3 from the field, 3 of 5 from the free throw line. So not Enes Kanter's best night. He's not a must-own player to me. He's a guy that, yeah, you can potentially own him, but he's just really capped, and he's capped by his role, and he'll have a stretch of some decent games, and you add him. He's just an on-off waiver wire sort of player. I think that's where he's going to sit for most of the season. All right, that's all the lines of the night done. Going to take a quick break for an ad here. So, again, I do apologize for the ads, but it is a reality of the modern world. So, just a quick word from a break to have a word from our sponsors, and then we'll be back to look at the games from Sunday. All right, let's bring those up now onto the screen. There we go. All right, the first game we're going to take a look at was one of the early games. It was the New Orleans Pelicans and the Los Angeles Clippers. Tyreke Evans, another big night. Now, there was no Anthony Davis here. He was out again with that back issue. He's not going to be far away, though, so don't be too concerned. 26-7-7 for Evans with 2 threes, a steal, and a block. He's just continually filling up the stat sheets, putting up some big numbers. He's got his limitations as a player, but as a fantasy guy, he's been fantastic. Jrue Holiday was also fantastic. 29 points off the bench in 36 minutes, 11 rebounds, 3, 4 assists, and 3 steals. Not really sure why they keep persisting with running him off the bench and then playing him and Tyreke together anyway. Just start him and get your best unit out there, but Elvin Gentry makes a lot of questionable decisions. One of those would be playing Dante Cunningham 35 minutes. He was 8-7 with a couple of threes, but he just shouldn't be out there that much, nor should Omer Asik be playing 26 minutes. He went 8-11, especially when my boy Alexi Ajinsa played just 14 minutes. Now, Ajinsa went 9-6 in those 14 minutes, and that's very nice, but just play more minutes. I don't understand the hesitancy to go and play Ajinsa big run, especially against these other spuds like Cunningham and Asik and like Alonzo G played 6 minutes. Like, they don't need to play minutes. Get your good players out there, and Ajinsa is one of them. Ryan Anderson played 43 minutes with Davis out, 16-10 with a couple of threes, but overall a pretty empty line from him. Norris Cole, 15 minutes, 6 points. He can be cut if you happen to own him in a 12-team league. The Clippers, Chris Paul, 25-5-11, 3 threes, 3 steals and a block, a big night from him. And Wes Johnson had a really good night, 15-4, 2 assists, 5 steals, 3 threes. They should be playing him this sort of run most nights. Unfortunately, they don't, and that's a failing on Doc Rivers' part. To me, he is the best guy to replace Blake Griffin or to even play the three. He can rack up fantasy stats as well, but I don't trust that Doc's going to do it enough for me to go and add him in a standard league. Jamal Crawford, another 21 points with 3 threes. That's 2 good games in a row from Jamal. He's okay to add, but he's not a must-own guy to me. JJ Redick was a bit off with his shot, and by a bit, I mean a lot. 2 of 10 for 11 points in 36 minutes. Paul Pierce played 13 minutes only in an overtime game, so that's obviously not ideal. And DeAndre Jordan went 12-11 with a couple of blocks. Still pretty good night from him. Austin Rivers has cooled off the last couple of games. 10 points in 24 minutes, and he's a streaming guy, and you know, if it doesn't work out, which it didn't today, then you can move on to someone else. The Dallas Mavericks and the Minnesota Timberwolves. Dirk Nowitzki went 29-7. He hit 4 threes. Another big night from Dirk. Really efficient shooting. And Zaza Pachulia, double-digit rebounds again. He's doing that so often this season, 13 and 11 for Zaza in 32 minutes with a block. Chandler Parsons looked a bit better, really good shooting, 6 of 7, but overall just didn't really fill the stat sheet, 14, 5 and 2 in his 30 minutes. And Wes Matthews had a bad night, 1 of 8 shooting for 5 points. He had 2 steals and a 3, so a little bit of help there. He wasn't the only one who struggled. Darren Williams, only 2 of 10 for 4 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists and a steal. If someone gets pissed that Darren Williams was bad and drops him, I'm all over going and adding him. So just have a look to see if Williams doesn't have the greatest track record. He doesn't have the greatest support from lots of people. So go and check if Williams is available, because he may have got dropped. On the Timberwolves, Ricky Rubio, 12, 7 and 8 with 3 steals. That's just such a Ricky Rubio line. And Andrew Wiggins had another decent night, 21, 7 and 3 with 2 steals and a 3-pointer. And that's exactly what he needs to do to become a much better fantasy player. Karl Anthony Towns, not his best night, 10 and 4. A couple of blocks and a steal. Yeah, still pretty decent, but not overall not ideal. Tayshaun Prince, 20 minutes again for him. He played 20 minutes and Zach LaVine played 8 minutes. And Tyus Jones didn't play at all. Sam Mitchell needs to go. I don't care about how good he is and how much they love him. He's got no idea what he's doing with his team. It makes zero sense. Zero. Alisha Bazmuhamed played 28 minutes, 16 and 5 for him with a 3, but he's not worth a look in standard leagues. Neither's Kevin Martin, who played another 12 minutes here. Nikola Pekovic played 15 minutes. Gorgui Dieng's the one who I reckon upset a lot of people. 19 minutes for him, only one shot, and he missed it for 7 rebounds and an assist. He's been trending down a lot lately. Pekovic is hurting his minutes a little bit. His production hasn't been living up to scratch anyway. I reckon you can move on from Dieng if there's someone else out there who's going to fill what you need to do. His potential's there, but I do not trust Sam Mitchell really to provide that same sort of value to give him the opportunity to provide the value that he needs to be a must-own player, unfortunately, because he is a good player. The Cleveland Cavaliers and the Philadelphia 76ers. The Sixers kept it close, so the Cavs' big guys got lots to run, and LeBron was great. 37, 7 and 9, 2 steals and a 3. And when I spoke about it yesterday, this is what I was talking about when I was saying that the matchup's great for LeBron, but is he going to stay on the court long enough? Well, the Sixers kept it close, and he thrived, as did Kevin Love, who went 15, 15 and 7 with 2 steals. Kyrie, not so much. 3 of 15 shooting for 8 points. Still 2 steals and a block and a 3. Not his greatest performance, and the J.R. Smith 3-point barrage continued. Another 4 triples for J.R., 14 points in 34 minutes. For the time being, he's a must-own guy. Tristan Thompson has clearly won the center battle here. 10 boards for him in 37 minutes. He's really only a rebounding guy. That's all that he offers, not much else, and that can be useful, but it's not must-own territory at all. Mo Williams a healthy scratch yet again. On the Sixers, Nerlens Noel really, really cranking it up now. 12 and 9, a steal, 3 blocks, and 71% shooting from the field, and Ish Smith kept it going to 18, 7, and 10. And Jahlil Okafor looked okay too, 21 and 7, but no other stats, but he's still happy with 21 points. That's still a pretty good output. Probably the most exciting thing for fantasy owners was Bob Cove. Robert Covington played 32 minutes off the bench, 7, 8, and 4 with a 3 and a block. It's not mind-blowing, but he played 32 minutes. He played 9 the night before, so it's obviously a big, big increase from Covington. We know where his potential lies, but this is one game out of about the last 10 where he's done anything that's even close to being useful. If you've got a streaming spot, go and add him. If you're holding on to him, don't drop him, obviously, but I wouldn't get too carried away that this is the turnaround, because he played a lot of minutes. Doesn't necessarily mean he put up big stats or anything like that, but you know, it's definitely an encouraging sign. Jeremy Grant started and played 30 minutes, 6-8 with a steal and a block. He's not a standard league guy, I don't think. The Boston Celtics and the Memphis Grizzlies, Isaiah Thomas, 35, 3-8 with 4 triples, a big night from Isaiah, and Jay Crowder was good as well, 10, 2-2, but the 4 steals and 2 threes is where he really got his value, and he's been a massive surprise, or at least to me, this season. Kelly Olynyk only got 22 minutes because David Lee inexplicably played 16 minutes. David Lee is just not good anymore. He shouldn't be getting any minutes at all. Those 15 minutes, at least 10 of them should go to Olynyk. Olynyk was still really useful though. 6-6, but 2 steals and 3 blocks. He has to be owned everywhere. Lee was disgusting in this game. He shouldn't be playing. Amir Johnson got 32 minutes, which I like. 14-9 with a 3 and a block. And Jared Sullinger played 26 and went 11-4. And you can own Johnson in 12-team leagues, and you can possibly own Sullinger, who's looked a lot better these last 2 or 3 games off the bench. Avery Bradley, 38 minutes, 14 points and 2 steals. Nothing too exciting there, but his return relegated Evan Turner to waiver wire fodder. And Marcus Smart gave us a very Marcus Smart line. 4 points on 2 of 9 shooting, but he had 6 boards, 3 assists, and 5 steals. And that's the value that he has. And that can be useful in a 12-team league, but it's not going to be for everybody because his lack of points and the way he hurts you in percentages is going to be an issue. Now, the Grizzlies were missing Mike Conley, Courtney Lee, so big minutes for lots of guys. Tony Allen remained starting. He played 32 minutes and went 15 and 10 with 2 steals and a block. I don't buy into him being a standard league guy, but he's definitely worth a stream at the moment, as is Mario Chalmers, who went 18, 5 and 4 with a 3 and a couple of steals. A really nice performance. Got to the line 13 times as well. Matt Barnes, 12 and 9 with 2 assists and 2 blocks. He should be owned in standard leagues. He's going to have that very similar role, basically, for the rest of the season, I would say. And Zach Randolph went crazy here. 38 minutes for Randolph, 25 and 13 with a 3, with a steal, with 2 blocks. Do not expect a 3, a steal, and 2 blocks from Randolph pretty much ever again. And for now, you own him while these guys are injured, but I imagine him going back to a 24, 25 minute role once they get a bit more flexibility back on the wing. Marc Gasol was bad, 5 of 17, still gave you 11 boards, but no defensive numbers, no, only 1 assist. Not his greatest performance, and Jeff Green was very Jeff Greenish, and by that I meant he went 2 of 11 and had 4 and 4 with 3 assists and a couple of steals, and he is a borderline 12-team league guy, but he has 12-team value whilst the injuries are there. The Indiana Pacers and the Houston Rockets, Paul George, really filled the stat sheet here, close to the monstrous line of the night, 26 and 4, 7 steals, 2 blocks, 3 triples, inefficient shooting, but otherwise a really good night, and Jan Mahimi put up another big performance. 13 and 7 for Mahimi in 29 minutes, a steal and a block. I think that he should be owned in pretty much all standard leagues. Monte Ellis is dishing out the assists at the moment, 11, 2 and 13. So you'd be happy if you drafted him because he's giving you some great point guard-like numbers at the moment. And George Hill, just a solid 13, 5 and 5 with 3 triples, putting together some relatively decent numbers as of late. LaVoy Allen continues to start over CJ Miles, but he's not doing much. And Miles had one of his quieter nights because he couldn't shoot the ball well. 2 of 11 for 7 points. Still had a steal and a block and 2 threes. And I still think that you should be owning Miles in 12-team formats. Jordan Hill run is done. He's down to 12 minutes and he's basically less than 20 on most nights now with Miles Turner back in the rotation. On the Rockets, Trevor Ariza had probably his best game of the year. 24 points, including 5 triples and 5 rebounds. And James Harden just missed a triple-double going 21, 9 and 9. And Dwight Howard, after missing the last game due to back soreness, played 43 minutes in an overtime game and was great. I didn't really expect him to get out there for 43 minutes, given he's got a sore back. But, hey, that's what they did, and it benefited us as fantasy owners. 43 minutes for Howard, 21 and 17, 2 steals. A pretty big night from him. And Clint Capela was effective in just 20 minutes. 2 points, but 6 boards, 3 steals, and 2 blocks. Means that Capela, again, he just racks up these defensive numbers, small quantities, but they may mean a lot in those categories. And he is someone that you definitely can own in a 12-team league. Whilst Terrence Jones, 19 minutes, 4 and 3 with a steal on the block, back to the bench and back to being not a good basketball player. Still no Donatas Motiejunas, and looks like he's going to be a long-term sort of injury situation for the Rockets. The next game, the Milwaukee Bucks and the New York Knicks. But before we get into that, I've got another ad from our friends at SeatGeek, who's sponsoring today's podcast. The next time you're looking for tickets to an NBA game, you need to check out SeatGeek. It's the smartest way to buy and sell NBA tickets. It's the go-to app for buying and selling sports and concert tickets. There's always games there for NBA and great prices. It's easy to use. It's completely different from other ticket sites. SeatGeek pulls every option from other major ticket sites into one place to save you time. It shows you the full price of the ticket up front, never hides any fees, and SeatGeek gives every ticket a grade based on value to help you figure out if it's a good deal or not. Makes it a great way to find underpriced tickets. Also, if you have tickets that you can't use, you're a season's ticket holder, you got given tickets, SeatGeek helps you price the tickets so that you can sell them quickly to another fan. All you listeners get a $20 rebate off your first SeatGeek purchase. To do that, to get your $20 rebate, download the free SeatGeek app, go to Settings tab, click Add a promo code, enter the promo code REDROCK, which is just one word, REDROCK, one word. SeatGeek will send you $20 once you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the free SeatGeek app and enter promo code REDROCK today. All right, guys, that's it for the ads for today. back to the Bucks and the Knicks. Greg Monroe got some decent minutes happening again. 33 for him, 28 and 10 with a block. One of his best games probably in the last month. And Jabari Parker slowly getting some numbers back. 14 and 6, two steals and a block. Not necessarily a must-own guy now, but definitely starting to put up the numbers that make you consider it. OJ Mayo did not play this game due to a hamstring issue, so Rashad Vaughn got big minutes. And the fact that Rashad Vaughn played 29 minutes means that when Mayo's healthy, I think that's the sort of role we're going to see him play. Now, Vaughn was okay, 10-2 and 2, but 2 threes, a steal and a block. Interesting for deeper leagues, but Mayo will take that role when he is back. Chris Middleton, 20 points, not many other numbers, and Giannis went 8-10 and 5. So overall, some pretty disappointing numbers. Most disappointing, probably Michael Carter-Williams, who only played 22 minutes here. 1 of 8 shooting, 4, 5, and 6 with 2 steals. You're happy with the assists, you're happy with the steals, and you're happy with what he's been doing lately, but overall, not a good night from MCW. On the Knicks side of things, they throttled the Bucks. Mello went 24 and 10 with a 3 and a block, and Jose Calderon, another 29 minutes for him. 9, 4, and 7 with 3 steals and 2 threes. He's available in lots of leagues. He should definitely be looked at as a point guard option. He's giving you nice assists, some decent threes, some okay steals. He has to be looked at. And Robin Lopez, 27 minutes again, 13 and 9 with a block. He should be owned in most formats too. My boy Aaron Aflalo, how did he go? Well, he was 5 of 16 from the field for 11 points, 3 assists and a steal. And he's just not a must-own player to me. I'm sorry, I know people love Aaron Aflalo for whatever reason that is. He's just not a must-own guy. The Charlotte Hornets and the Denver Nuggets up next. And Nick Batum returned, and that's great. Couldn't get them over the line, though, so the Hornets are on a massive slide. I think they've lost 7 or 8 in a row now. Batum played 38 minutes, 9, 6, and 7, so fantasy owners will be pretty happy with that. Jeremy Lamb got 30 minutes in this game, 15 and 8 with 3 steals, so that's a couple of strong games in a row from Lamb. Don't think that's really going to impact my thoughts on him. Jeremy Lamb was terrible. Jeremy Lin, sorry. 24 minutes for Lin, 2 points on 0 of 9 shooting, 2 assists and a block. He still has to be owned. And Kemba Walker's going through a mini slump now too. 11, 3, and 6 on 3 of 12 shooting with a block shot. Cody Zeller, 31 minutes for him. And he went 15 and 6 with not many other numbers. And he's a guy that should be owned in most leagues. Frank Kaminsky had one of his better games, 14 and 5. Filled the stat sheet, went 2 threes and a steal and a block. But it's really tough for him in a 12-team format. While Marvin Williams only played 20 minutes. And that's probably the key number for Marvin Williams. The fact that he played 20 minutes. If you're in a 12-team league and there's someone out there that you want, I'm not fussed if you drop Marvin Williams because he's slowly and slowly losing his role on this team. On the Nuggets, Danilo Gallinari just continues his hot streak, 27 and 6 with 2 threes, a steal, and a block. Jameer Nelson was out, Kenneth Faried was out, but we saw the return of Emmanuel Mudiay. Now, he struggled shooting, 5 of 15, but 11, 4 and 6, 2 steals, a block, and a 3. That's where his value is going to be. But he's going to continue to hurt you in percentages, and he's going to continue to turn the ball over. So you need to be able to absorb those numbers. He played 39 minutes in the first game back, and that's a lot of that is to do with the fact that Nelson was out. He'll probably come back to a 29-minute role, I'd say, when Nelson plays. But he has a spot in some leagues in some punt build formats. Darrell Arthur started in place of Fried and went 9-6 with a 3-pointer. And Nikola Jokic had a pretty interesting game, just 4 points for Jokic. But 7 rebounds and 9 assists and a block, I think you can count that as somewhat fluky. He is a really skilled big man, but 9 assists is not something we're going to get from him all that often. Yusuf Nurkic, only 14 minutes for him, 7-7 with a steal and a block, so still actually relatively productive in limited minutes. And Will Barton just can't get it going. Again, 30 minutes, so at least his minutes are back up, but 10-8 with 3 assists and 2 threes on 3 of 11 shooting. This is four or 5 bad games. Or not good games in a row for Barton. You still hold on, but it's not ideal, clearly. And Gary Harris hit 3 triples for his 12 points, and he played 36 minutes, which is a good sign for Gary Harris owners. The next game is the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Portland Trailblazers. Russ Westbrook was fantastic, 25, 9, and 15, 2 threes and 3 steals. And Andre Robertson had a big, big night, 10 and 8 for him, 2 steals and 3 blocks with a 3-pointer. Don't think we can count on that all that often. Kevin Durant, 28, 6, and 4 with 2 threes. And Steven Adams had his best night of the year, 17 and 10, and also had a block shot. Serge Ibaka, 14 and 3, 4 threes and 2 blocks is still pretty interesting. but he's probably been a little bit disappointing this season. I think that's fair to say. Overall, though, you're happy with getting those sort of stats. Campaign reduced in this one to just 10 minutes, and that's because Westbrook played so much time. And that's going to happen, but you know, my thoughts on him remain the same. On the Portland Trailblazers, Damian Lillard played 37 minutes. Well, I've talked about him already, don't need to cover that. And CJ McCollum had his best game for a while. 22-7-6 with 4 triples and a steal. Not a great shooting night from CJ. Al-Farouq Aminu had one of his best nights as well. He went 16-4-2 with 2 steals, a block, and 2 threes. And that's exactly what we were envisaging from him at the start of the season. Just hasn't really produced it, but he's a on-off 12-team league guy. Mason Plumlee 11-11, bounce back from him. And Alan Crabbe saw his minutes reduced down to 22 here with the big men getting more run because the Thunder were going big, playing more Adams and more Ibaka. They had to run Aminu and Plumlee and those guys out there. Myers Leonard, only 13 minutes for him, 3-4 with a 3. He probably, or he almost definitely can be dropped in 12-team leagues. I just realized that I forgot to do the perfect DFS lineup. I'll do that after this last game. Rod Hood returned for the Utah Jazz. Played 32 minutes, went 14-6-4 with 2 steals. He's a must-own player. Make sure that he's owned. And Derek Favors was still out in this one. Rudy Gobert, 30 minutes in a back-to-back. That's a great sign for him. 10-5, a steal and 3 blocks. He's back. I don't think we've got anything to worry about there. Jeff Withey, 18 minutes, 7 boards, a steal and a block. He's still going to have deep league relevance. He's played himself into about a 17-minute role, I would say, backing up Gobert. So whatever Gobert doesn't play, I imagine that Withey's going to play. So he's going to have real deep league value. Trey Lyles couldn't back up his big game from the other day. He went scoreless. He did have 9 rebounds, but not a great night there. And Harold Neto, big minutes again. 26 for him, 7 points, 2 assists and a steal. And he's still just a real deep league guy only. Larry Nance, 37 minutes for Nance. 10-11, 2 steals and a block. I can understand owning him in 12-team leagues. It's not going to be for everyone, but I can understand why you would want to do it. Because he's playing big minutes. Julius Randle's dealing with a foot issue at the moment. And Nance is playing well. Fine if you want to add him. Lou Williams has to be owned. 18-8-6 with 2 steals for Lou. And that was with D'Angelo Russell and Kobe Bryant out. So you expected sort of a bigger role from him. And Jordan Clarkson went 14-2-1 with 4 steals and a block. And Randle was still okay, even with that bruised foot, 11-7 in 27 minutes. But to me, he's not a must-own player, nor is Roy Hibbert. Anthony Brown started with Kobe out, 4-4 for him in 28 minutes. And I like Brown a lot, but there's no real point in owning him at this point. All right, now I'll bring up the perfect lineup from Sunday. At point guard, Drew Holiday, 51.2, and Isaiah Thomas, 50.6. So both of those guys, which touched on before, Holiday got that extra usage with Anthony Davis out. At shooting guard, Lou Williams was always going to be a good option, and even more with Russell and Bryant out. And Andre Robertson at 27.6 is probably a little bit surprised. I don't think we'd expect him to go for that much. Small forwards, Mello at 49 was always a great play. And LeBron at 60.9 was the top scorer on the day. He just had to hope that the Sixers could keep it close enough for him to play. Power forwards, Larry Nance, 30.7. Zach Randolph, 47.6, and Dwight Howard, 46.9. There was no way I thought that Dwight would be able to play that much and be that productive dealing with a back problem, but he was, and good luck to him. 399.1 would have been your top score on FanDuel for Sunday. All right, I'm going to take a quick break, then we're going to be back to talk trade talk, so covering one of your guys' trades, and we'll get into that in a bit of detail, and then preview the 3-game DFS slate for Monday. I saw your picture today. Got me thinking about the things that I would say. But I know you're happy now in your someplace far away. Away, away, away. And I can't remember the way you taste, you taste, you taste. I walk down your old street. And I walk. back, and we're going to go into some trade talk now. And the trade comes from Twitter follower Holy, who's on Twitter at HolyGoat23. And the trade that Holy Goat brings up is, he says, it's a 9-cat head-to-head league. He says, my CP3 and Jonas Valanciunas for his Curry. And what I've done is I've plugged that into the Basketball Monster trade analysis. I had my thoughts on it before we even started, but I'm going to bring that up on the screen for you guys watching on YouTube, and we'll have a look at what this trade gives us. Okay, so Chris Paul and Jonas Valanciunas, 9-cat head-to-head league in exchange for Steph Curry. Now, as with everything, 2-for-1 trades are great, but they're never 2-for-1. In general, if you're getting one guy, you've got to go and fill that roster spot, so you're going to add someone else. So what I did on this trade is I just added someone like Gorgui Dieng, who might be owned, might be not. We've got him projected in a 9-cat league at the moment as the 82nd ranked player, but he might be available. Just to give you an idea so you can balance the numbers, because you're going to have to add someone anyway. All right, so what you do in this trade, the value of Steph Curry is that it's that good that you would need it to Chris Paul to make up for it. That's how good he is. So giving up Paul and Valanciunas, you are going to lose rebounds. But if you can add a borderline big man like Gorgui Dieng off the waiver wire, you're not going to lose out too much in that area. Curry shoots a high field goal percentage. He shoots a field goal percentage like a big man anyway, and so does Chris Paul to an extent. But if we look at this trade, say Dieng was that other option here, we're gaining more scoring, and Dieng's scoring less than 10 a game. You're gaining way more threes. You're losing slightly on rebounds, and you're actually losing slightly on assists because of how good Chris Paul is with his assists. But you get more steals, you get more blocks, you got a slightly worse field goal percentage, but a much better free throw percentage. And as always, it depends on what your team is, and it depends on how your team is structured. But overall, Steph Curry is that good that you need two Chris Pauls almost to make up his value. And that's a big chunk. If I turn turnovers off and have a look at this and see what difference it makes here, I'm going to think it's a much bigger difference. It's a huge advantage for the Curry side because he's big on turnovers. And then say that your punting rebounds. We'll go up and turn off punt rebounds, and we'll see how much of a difference that makes. It's even a bigger advantage because you don't care that you're losing those extra rebounds. The extra scoring you get, the extra threes, the more steals, and the higher free throw percentage. It all works in your favor. So, Holy Goat, if you can get Steph Curry, the value you need to give up for it not to work in your favor has to be, it's massive. And it's unlikely you're going to have two players who are going to yield that much value. Now, if you're in a deeper league, say you're in an 18-team league or a 16-team league, then the replacement level value is not going to be that Gorgui Dieng type or maybe a little bit worse. It's going to be a terrible player. It's going to be Cole Aldrich, who's not a terrible player, but he's not getting enough minutes. And the effect of Chris Paul and Jonas Valanciunas, who then become, instead of a first-round guy and a fourth-round or fifth-round guy, becomes a first-round guy and a third-round guy, then it sways maybe in the favor of getting those two better players. But in a standard 12-team league, the value of Steph Curry with the value that's available on your waiver wire, it's a straightforward one to me that you would definitely want Steph Curry in that situation. I hope you guys like this trade talk segment. I'm going to do it each week, pick one of you guys' trades to really have a look at and analyze and try and work out exactly where the value is. But in this one, it's pretty clear cut to me that you want Steph Curry almost in any situation that you can get him. All right, now let's talk DFS. There is only 3 games on, so a really odd sort of schedule the way the NBA has got things that are happening at the moment. And there's one game in particular that's a real stinker. And we need to talk about a few things in that game, and that is the San Antonio Spurs and the Brooklyn Nets. And the main thing to talk about is the firing of Lionel Hollins. And I think that it's overdue. I think that Lionel Hollins has been a bad coach for the last 2 seasons. Don't like anyone losing their job, but he's made some baffling decisions. He's had some bad coaching times, and they need a new start. Now, what does it mean for their team? At this point, we don't know, but there is a risk that the biggest one I think we need to look at is what happens with Shane Larkin and Donald Sloan. Now, Larkin got benched in the last game at halftime, but maybe the assistant coach really wants Larkin over Sloan. Maybe he really wants Sloan over Larkin. We just don't know at this point. I'm not going and making a definite, I'm dropping Larkin and adding Sloan. Not doing that, because you just don't know. I think that Larkin still has more ability and still has more upside than Sloan. But We need to really see what happens before this game. Check the news out, check what they say, and see if there's any indication of what they're going to do with their rotation. That's really the only one. The other one is the stupidity of starting Markell Brown at shooting guard. Maybe that ends and maybe we see more Bogdanovic and he gets more involved because he is a more talented player in that area. So he is a guy to have a look at as well. Maybe he gets back to getting some decent run and playing some decent ball. For this game, from a DFS point of view, it's the Spurs. Man, it's tough. But I still like Larkin at 4,300. If he gives you 20 points or 22 points, that's 5x value. Now, it's not easy, but you know, big men and wings have it much worse against the Spurs than what point guards do. So Larkin, Tony Parker's not bad, but he's not Kawhi Leonard. He's not Danny Green. And I don't think they're going to divert a huge amount of attention onto stopping Shane Larkin. So at 4,300, he's still a pretty decent cheap option. As for the other Nets guys, Brook Lopez, with only three games on, you're going to have to get some guys in some suboptimal lineups or matchups. And I think that Lopez at 8,600 is a pretty decent play. Yes, it's expensive, but can he give you 35 to 38 points? I think that he's a pretty good chance of that, even though it's against the Spurs. The guys you don't want to deal with, Joe Johnson on the wing, that's going to be a struggle. The Bogdanovic, Markell Brown situation, Wayne Ellington, no chance do I want anything to do with any of those guys. Thad Young at 6,900, his play's dropped off. I'm not too keen on getting him in this one. I like a few Spurs guys, though. Kawhi at 8,300, again, this is not many good options and not many high-priced options. This could be a smashing. It could be a 25-point smashing pretty comfortably. So, Leonard might have his minutes reduced, but he could still rack up 35 points in those limited minutes. So, I think that he's okay looking at. I think Tony Parker at 5,800 has marginal value. And I like Manu at 4,600. This is a real easy matchup for him. He's been playing fantastically well. He's averaging 25 across his last three. He is someone that I think he can use. I don't want to use LaMarcus Aldridge, really. Don't want to use Danny Green or Tim Duncan. I just think that there's a chance that some of these guys, their value isn't great to start off with, and then they might get sat because the game is over by halftime, and that's not going to work out well in your favor. The Wizards and the Bulls is a much better matchup to look at. The Bulls are favored by 8. The total is 207, and I finally just clicked as to why there's only three games on. It's the college football championship, if I'm not mistaken. That makes much more sense. Joakim Noah may be back for this one, and that's going to muck up the front court rotations to a degree. But it's not like Noah was playing 30 minutes before he went down anyway. Bobby Portis will cop a hit, and I think Taj Gibson will cop somewhat of a hit too. I don't think Mirotic gets touched much, maybe a minute or two, and Pau Gasol, I don't think much changes with him. John Wall is dealing with a knee bruise. He looks like he'll play, and the other injuries that the Wizards are dealing with, Chris Humphries and Nene, are both questionable, but they're questionable every game, it feels like. I still think that Pau Gasol at 8,700, even with the return of Noah, is worth looking at. The Wizards do allow power forwards to have pretty big nights. 8,700 for Gasol is still a good play. And Taj Gibson's not terrible at 5,100 as well. He had a bad game in the last one. But again, there's just not many guys out there who can go for 30 points, and he's one of them. On the Wizards side of things, Marcin Gortat at 6,900 against the Bulls, it's a really, really good matchup. He hasn't been getting quite to his salary level lately, but the Bulls can be the remedy to fix that. We saw Al Horford and Paul Millsap in the last one put up huge, huge numbers. Nikola Mirotic at 5,500, really on a hot streak at the moment, averaging over 31 in his last five. I reckon you've almost got to play him. Yes, Noah might impact him a little bit, but not with the way he's been playing. Garrett Temple at 4,400. The minutes are still going to be there, but is his production going to be there? You might be able to sneak 20 points out of him, and that's not a terrible option. 6,300 for Derrick Rose. He just doesn't feel like he's going to get over 30, so I don't want to use him, but I do want to use Jim Butler. 8,700 for Jim. 44-point average across his last three. The Wizards aren't great against wings. This could be a big, big explosion from Butler, so I do like using him. And much like we talked about Gortat going up against the Bulls front court, Derrick Rose is a good option for opposition point guard. So John Wall at less than 10,000, 9,900. He could be looking at 45 points here, and we know he's got that capability. So he's a guy that he put up 46 in the last one. I think this is a pretty decent spot for him. 6,000 for Otto Porter. I think that's right on value, and I think he's pretty consistent. So you can use him with relative confidence in a cash game setting. And Jared Dudley at 4,200, he is more of a tournament play, but he has averaged almost 23 points in the last three games, and that's sort of right on that 5x value. He put up 26 in the last one. He's worth having a look at. And he's not a bad cash game play if you're looking for that cheaper guy to slot in. The last game of the night is the Miami Heat and the Golden State Warriors. The Warriors are favored by 12.5 and the total is 206. All in all, this is not a great DFS slate. I don't think I'd be recommending putting huge amounts of bankroll on it. Dwayne Wade is dealing with a strained shoulder. I think he's a pretty good matchup, though. It's 7,000. He's a big chance to go for 30-plus points here. I like him. I like Goran Dragic at 5,500. Steph Curry is obviously a tough matchup, but at 5,500, that's not a high price. He doesn't need to crack 30 FanDuel points to get to 5X, so I think that he's worth looking at. And Gerald Green at 4,000 is a great punt play for a tournament. He's got a 24-point average over the last three, and if Tyler Johnson is out again, he's going to see more minutes and more opportunities. Chris Bosh at 8,000, I think that he's intriguing, definitely. He's averaging 34 over the last three, and the Warriors do allow power forwards and centers to put up big numbers, so I like him, and I like Hassan Whiteside at 7,300. I think that he is a pretty decent guy to have a look at too. Klay Thompson at 7,700, that salary is creeping up just a little bit too high for me. I don't think this is a great spot for him. Andrew Bogut at 4,200. He just is not doing enough, so I'd leave him alone. And 4,200 for Luol Deng, yeah, I could squeeze him in as a cheap tournament punt option. Steph Curry at 10,800, it's really between him and John Wall, and the Heat do shut down point guards. Now, Steph Curry's not a point guard, really. He's a freak, so I don't think we class him necessarily in that spot. But at almost 11,000, it's probably a little bit pricey for me. And Draymond Green at 9,800, not a good spot for him, I don't think, either. For him to get 50 points, he'll have to go pretty big. So, yeah, I don't think that's a great spot to use him. All right, that is the games of Monday. Let's bring up the recommended plays of the day, or guys that I want to talk about. At point guard, Shane Larkin, 4,300. Goran Dragic, 5,500. And John Wall, 99. At shooting guards, Gerald Green, 4,000. Big bump if Tyler Johnson's out. Dwayne Wade at 7,000, assuming he plays. And Jimmy Butler at 8,700. Small forwards, Jared Dudley, 42. He's a real tournament option. Nikola Mirotic, 55. And Kawhi Leonard at 83. For power forwards, there's no cheap guys that I really love at all. Taj Gibson at 5,100 is a bit risky. He's more of a tournament guy. And Pau Gasol at 8,700 is, I think he's Joakim Noah proof. At center, I've got Boban Marjanovic there at 3,700. It's clearly a punt. It's clearly a tournament play. But in the last game that he played, he put up huge numbers, and this is a chance for a massive blowout, and maybe he sees extra run. Maybe Pop rests Aldridge, maybe he rests Duncan, and then Marjanovic becomes really interesting, and 20-point upside at that salary. Whiteside at 73, and Brook Lopez at 8,600. All right, just remind you guys that today's podcast was brought to you by SeatGeek, and use that promo code REDROCK. Follow me on Twitter at REDROCK_BBall, and BasketballMonster at BaskMonster. Check out basketballmonster.com and hardwoodparoxysm.com for all your fantasy and NBA-based tools and articles and, all that stuff that's there. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, or you can subscribe to the videos on YouTube, or why don't you do both? That'd be great. We are done here, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.